Let's get our children to children's church. Make sure they got a hallelujah, huh? Make sure they got a hallelujah to give to their God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Grace of God upon those that are serving our children this morning. Have a blessed time in God. Amen. All right, for those of us left in the room, you ready for the Word of God this morning? I'm reminded before I get into this morning that it is the first Sunday of the month, and on the first Sunday of the month, we always celebrate the Lord's Supper, and so we will be doing that in a few minutes. And the word today is tied to the Lord's Supper. It's all one in Him, so you'll see that in a few minutes. But for those of you maybe that weren't here last week, after we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, right? After that, I was led by the Spirit to linger for a while in His resurrection. Not to just leave it as a one-day celebration and then move on to something else, but as I, you know, read through the scriptures and thought about it, meditated on it, you find that there was a woman of God there, Mary Magdalene, that went to the tomb and found Jesus was not there. And after the disciples came and checked it out, Peter and John, and they saw He wasn't there, they left. But Mary lingered, it says, at the tomb. And then she had a report that she had seen angels and that Jesus had risen from the dead. And I covered this, a couple weeks ago or last week. But it's important to see that after Jesus rose from the dead, the scripture records that He stayed around on the planet for some 40 days. And He stayed around and He was showing Himself to His disciples in many appearances. Acts records that there were many infallible proofs of seeing Jesus in the resurrected form. And so He emphasized to His believers that, yes, I rose from the dead in a bodily resurrection, not just spirit or soul, as some had believed, but in the fullness of who He was. And there's one place where He showed Himself and He said, look, take a look at My hands, look at My feet, look at the scars. Go ahead, put your hand into this My side, you know, where they thrust the spear. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. They thrust that into His side and water and blood poured out. See, He still has those scars as a representation of what He went through for us. And so He made a point of being around for some 40 days, and what was in His mouth was the same thing that was in His mouth when He first showed up, when He first came out preaching, and that was the kingdom of God. And so He talked with people and His disciples about the kingdom of God. And so today, I want to continue in looking at, you know, one of His appearances, and there's some significant truth in it for us for today, for 2025. And that's the one that's recorded in Luke 24, and that's when He appeared to a couple disciples on the road to Emmaus. And so let's go ahead in there this morning. Let's go to Luke 24. Get your Bibles open, and if you don't have one, there's one in the seats, or get it on your device. Luke 24. And for our recording this morning, thank you for your service unto the Lord up there. We're going to title this today, Know Him as the Bread of Life. know him with a capital H. Know him as the bread of life. We're also recording for YouTube this morning, so anyone viewing and listening to this on YouTube, I pray that the Spirit of God opens your eyes and that you too would know him, know Jesus Christ as your bread of life and all that that means to us as his people. Pray you're richly blessed in that today. Luke 24, are we there? Okay, Luke 24, and I'm going to start in verse 13. And again, the context is this is the risen Christ. This is Jesus after the resurrection, okay? That's the time frame here. And so in verse 13, you ready? Let's take a little walk to Emmaus. It says, and behold, two of them, that's two of his disciples, two of them went the same day. That day they're talking about is the third day. It was the day of his resurrection, okay? They went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. So, you know, in our vernacular, that's about 7 miles. So they were taking a 7-mile walk to Emmaus. I'm not able to discover or find out what it was in Emmaus that they were going there for, but must have been something of significance to them, but they were on their way. And as they walked, it says they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So this is Jesus, the resurrected Christ, drawing near to these two guys that are talking about what just had happened in Jerusalem. And it says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. You understand? So they didn't realize it was Jesus in his resurrected form. It says, and Jesus spoke to them, and he said, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? So Jesus says to them, what are you talking about one to another here that is making you so sad? So their countenance and, you know, the way they presented, they were sad. They were upset about this. This is what he was walking and listening to with them. So he asked them that question, and they began to answer. And it says in verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Jesus, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that have come to pass there in these days? And Jesus said to them, what things? All right, so the resurrected Christ, the master, he's going to pull it out of them now. What things? What are you talking about? Tell me about it. And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. So they identified Jesus Christ as a prophet who was mighty in his words that he was preaching and teaching, and also in his deeds and what he had been doing. Healing, right? Delivering people from devils. All of his ministry that had gone forth. They were recognizing that, but notice that they got him identified as a prophet, which he was, but he was more than that. And verse 20 goes on and says, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Jesus to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So you can get an understanding here of why they were sad. They thought Jesus, who was mighty in word and deed, right? They thought he was going to be the king. He was going to be the leader of Israel, redeem Israel. And so when they saw that he was crucified, they were saddened about that. You see their reality. You see what they're believing, where they're at this point. Verse 21, it says, we trusted that it was Jesus that would be here to redeem Israel. This is the third day. Yea, and there were certain women also in our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher or at the tomb. One of them I mentioned earlier was Mary Magdalene. And when they found not Jesus' body, they came to us saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. So the women's report was, Jesus is alive. The angels met with us, and they told us that he's not here. He is risen. You'll recall that. And so they're going over this with Jesus. When they found not the body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels and he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the grave. And they found it even as so the women had said, but him, Jesus, they saw not. So even after the women's report came back to the disciples, they didn't believe. They went to the grave themselves. And they saw it was empty. The tomb was empty. He wasn't there. So Jesus comes out now and he says, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Guys, don't you remember all that the prophets spoke about? About the Messiah coming and he would suffer, be crucified and be raised on the third. Don't you recall all that was recorded and spoken through the prophets? And so now Jesus, it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been in that Bible study. Take a walk with the master. If he wanted to go 7 miles to Emmaus, maybe I'd go, you know, a few more, Stephen. We'll see. He looked like he was going to go more, but it didn't happen. All the way from Moses through all the prophets, he broke it down to them. He gave them understanding. All of this that they were well aware of. And Jesus explained to this was all about me. This was the whole thing he unraveled for them. And as they drew nigh to the village, that would be Emmaus, where they went, he made as though he would have gone farther. Yeah. Jesus could have went on talking about the kingdom of God. He could have went on explaining more to them. But they constrained him, it says. And they said, abide with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. Now it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Think about that for a moment. Jesus sits down to eat with them. He takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. Hang on to that in your heart. And what happened? Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And then he vanished out of their sight. So we see here an example of Jesus as the resurrected Christ sitting down with his disciples and breaking bread. And just like he had done in other times prior, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And what happened is their eyes were open now. Now they knew. Yeah, this is Jesus. He's alive. yeah, he's risen. They realized now that they weren't sad anymore, church. Not when they realized that he's alive. This is the risen Christ that is in our midst. And then poof, he was gone. So these two guys had an experience. These two guys walked with the Master, the risen Christ. They got their Bible study right from the lips of the risen Christ. They sat down and broke bread with Jesus Christ. Huh? And then, boom, he was gone out of their sight in a moment. That'll change you. Think about it for a minute. That kind of experience, that'll change you forevermore. And he had to know that it would be that kind of experience that they needed to believe, because he was going back to the Father. Jesus was going back to glory. But he had to make sure that his disciples were secure, that they knew for sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that yes, in fact, he is risen. And so they had that experience with the Master, and others as well. There's other, you know, experiences in the scripture. We may go for more next week. We'll see. But hanging around for 40 days after that, you know, horrible death on the cross, after that and rising from the dead, he stayed around to make sure, you know, that they saw him and they heard from him and they realized and knew in their hearts that, yes, he's risen. There's something in this for us today. Goes on and says this: after their eyes were open and they realized it was him and they knew him, it says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? See, while they were walking on that road to Emmaus and Jesus was teaching and sharing the word of God with them, they're looking back on that time and they're saying, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke the word of God to us? Does your heart burn for the word of God, church? Do you love his word? Do you love to hear from him? Do you love to get a hold of his word, which he is one with his word? He is the word of God. Does it not burn in your heart to know him? See, we all may have experiences with the Lord. You might have your mountaintop experiences with God. You may even see angels. You could have all different kinds of experiences in your Christianity. But here is where you're going to really find him for yourself. And that's in the scriptures, in the very living word of God. That's the safest place for you to discover him. That's the best place to find your Jesus and to find your Heavenly Father's will, is in the Word of God and in the context of the Spirit of God. It's not a dead letter, it's a living Word. Be encouraged today in this simple little verse here to go into the Word of God yourself. Ask the Lord to open the scriptures to you and allow your heart to burn for him. It's an invitation, church. It's an invitation to get to know him more and more. For Jesus himself said in John that eternal life is knowing the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, who he sent. See, it's about knowing him for all eternity. Somewhere along the line, you made the decision. You heard the gospel, you agreed, and you said, yes, Lord, be my Lord, be my Savior. I give my life to you. Well, as we go forward, as his believers and as his disciples, as we follow after the Lord, there ought to be a hunger for his word. There ought to be a thirst for the Spirit of God, for the things of God. And let me tell you, it's not a secret. I pray along those lines for us. On Wednesday night when we come and we pray downstairs, and other times as well, as we lift you up as the body of Christ, I pray for you to have a greater hunger and a greater thirst for God in all areas of your life, that you would know him, the only true and wise God. So know that you're being prayed for, but then also take a step of faith. Roll up your sleeves, open that book, get a hold of the word. I'm going to spend another moment on it in a minute here. If you get a hold of him in his word, that will be yours forevermore. Remember Mary? She sat at the feet of Jesus. She sat there at his feet and was just listening to every word that dropped from the master's lips. And that's recorded. It says that what she received from Jesus, that would not be taken from her. See, it was hers. It was personal, and she received it, and she held on to that and walked in it as she went forward in her believing. If you discover it for yourself, it'll be yours forevermore. He's a good, good God. He wants to open his word to you. He wants to share the kingdom of God with you. We've got to go to him in faith and get a hold of it. And so it says, as Jesus opened the scriptures to them, their heart was burning. And then it says in verse 33, and they rose up the same hour, and they returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon Peter. And they told what things were done in the way, and how Jesus was known unto them in the breaking of bread. Jesus was known unto them in the breaking of bread. Now hold that in your heart for a minute, and let's go to the great discourse in John of the bread of life. John 6, please. Just move forward a few pages into John 6. Hallelujah, Lord. We desire to know you today as the bread of life. Now in John 6, church, it's a long passage. Let's see, some 71 verses. So time doesn't permit me to read through the whole thing and to walk through it with you, but I want to encourage you to sit down and read it yourself. Read it prayerfully. Think about it. Meditate on what's in this, because it's one of the great discourses that Jesus laid out. One of the great I am discourses, where he calls himself the bread of life. I'm going to take some of it this morning with you and open it. Are you ready? John 6, verse 31. So here the context, Jesus is talking to some people here. And they had, you know, challenged him, if you will, to show us, you know, something. Show us, you know, your works. Show us something that we could believe in you, that you're really the Messiah, that you're really the Christ. They're always, you know, trying to get Jesus, you know, to do backflips and, you know, show him some tricks. Do something. Show us something, Jesus, that we could believe in you. So here in verse 31, they said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus says to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Somebody get a hold of that today. I won't spend a lot of time on that, but when Jesus identifies it as true bread, bells ought to go off that there is some false bread out there as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus says there's true bread from the Father. There's the truth from the Father. But there's also then some false out there. Catch it. And then he goes on and he says, for the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives his life unto the world. So he's talking about himself. Jesus is saying the true bread is me. I'm the true bread that's sent down from the Father to give my life for the world. This is where he's going. He's going to open this to them. And they said to him, oh, Lord, then evermore give us this bread. See, now he had their ear. He says, yeah, the true bread. Yeah, we want that. And Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. So he's taking it up a notch. Jesus is moving them from the natural to the spirit in this conversation. Listen carefully. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. You've seen me in the flesh. You've seen me minister. You've seen me here on the planet. And you don't believe that I'm the true bread. You don't believe that the Father sent me. You don't believe me. See, he wasn't mincing words. He's laying it out real clear, real honest before them. You haven't believed me. He says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What a great promise. If you'll go to him, he won't turn away from you. He'll never cast you out. You just got to go to him in faith. You just got to go and believe. That's what he's looking for. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which have given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day. In verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believing on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. So as you see the Lord and you believe in him, he says you can have eternal life. You get it through the true bread, the bread of life from heaven. He won't cast you away. You'll be his and his forevermore. And when it's time for resurrection, he will raise you up as well. Amen? Now, a couple more verses in this passage I want to highlight to you. So as you keep reading, Jesus still identifies himself. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so now after this, he gets into a conversation, you know, about his flesh. And The Jews are upset because they're saying, how can we eat this man's flesh? This is crazy. You understand? They weren't getting it, that Jesus had moved to the Spirit. He was talking about the Spirit now that brings life to people. He wasn't talking about sitting down and eating, you know, his flesh and drinking his blood. They weren't getting it. I'm going to move through that and bring you to this. Because after that, it says many of his disciples, they turned away. They said, this is too much. Who could believe, who could follow him after this? I'm not eating his flesh and drinking his blood. You understand? They were right there in the natural. And they was like, I don't get this. I'm going to walk away. Now, Jesus says to them, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was from before? Here, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Pretty clear right there. If they had stuck around and heard him say that. See, the words that I speak unto you, I'm the bread of life, he said. And the word that I speak, there's life in it for you. It's not a dead letter of the law. It's not going to come out and just fall to the ground. It's a living word coming from the bread of life to your life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that word there is still true today. He's still the bread of life. He's still got a word for you. It's still living. And if you go to him, you can get it from him. It's right here in his book. Go in faith. Get the truth for your lives. Now, with this in mind, this truth that we're talking about as Jesus being the bread of life, I want to move into the Lord's Supper. Okay? I want to move forward now in the service to the Lord's Supper, that we can all participate in that. I'm going to need a couple of gentlemen, please, to help at the table here. Robert, you want to get somebody? Go ahead, brother. Play for a moment as we get ready for the Lord's Supper. Coming to the table in faith this morning. We're coming to the Lord's Supper to know him as the bread of life. And so in Mark's gospel, it's recorded this way. It says, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it to them. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. And so we know he's speaking about a symbol here. The bread was a symbol, an example of his body. Jesus was not stating that the bread was his actual body, as some believe. That is not the truth. That's a false doctrine that some believe. What he's saying here is, take the bread. This is my body. It's a symbol. He's the bread of life. He's the bread. Listen, And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. And so he uses the drink again as a symbol, an example of the poured out blood of Jesus Christ. Now, he hadn't done that. It was a symbol, an example. The New Testament, the new covenant that he brought to us was sealed in his very blood when he poured that out at Calvary. He said, Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And then, Brother Jonas, after we're done at the table today, it says, And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So we'll sing a little after this. Amen? Now, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to participate in the Lord's Supper this morning. Bow your hearts and prepare your hearts. It's not just a religious activity. It's not just something we do once a month, but it is a spiritual operation, a spiritual reality as we come to the table and partake of the bread and the drink. And so this morning, Father, we bow our hearts before you. Lord, we pray, Lord, that if there is any sin there, if there's anything that's not pleasing before you, we simply confess it to you and we ask you for your forgiveness, that you'd wash over us with the blood of Jesus and that you would cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness, that we'd have clean hearts, Lord, before you today as we come to your table. We know that we miss it sometimes, but we also know that you're a forgiving God. You're a gracious God. You're a merciful God. And that when we come to you and confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and all of the unrighteousness. Wash your people this morning. Cleanse us and let us approach the table in faith this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now this morning, if you're going to participate in the Lord's Supper from the back to the front, if you'll come and pick up the elements, they're here for you. Everything was prepared beautifully for you. Thank you to those that prepared this yesterday, I believe, set it up so we would have it today. Thank you for your service unto the Lord. That are partaking this morning. If you'll take the bread first. In line with our word this morning that Jesus Christ is the bread of life, let's hold that before the Lord. This is a symbol and an example of the broken body of Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's the bread of life, but his body was beaten and broken for the people that were in the earth, the people that are in that would believe in him as the bread of life. And so, Lord, this morning we put this before you. We thank you. Thank you for the finished work of Jesus at Calvary, for the broken bread. You took him, you blessed him, you broke him, and you gave him to the world. And so today, as we partake of the bread, I pray, Father, that life would come to your people. You're the living bread. Let life and strength and blessing come to your people as we partake in Jesus' precious name. Partake. Together. The cup, as you know, is representative of the poured out blood of Jesus Christ. The pure, precious, and powerful blood that was shed at Calvary. Poured out every drop. And I know the scripture supports it that there is life in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you put your faith and your trust in him, that life will come to you as well. As we partake today, let that life that flowed from Calvary all the way through into today in 2025, let it come to your life in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's partake. Can I have the praise and worship team come back and let's worship God in this time together, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah. voice.
I love your voice.
You have led me through the fire.
That's a great promise from the Lord to you. Amen. Praise God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father. Lord, we bless you and honor you today. You're a great, great God, a loving Father. And yes, we declare, even as Jesus declared, that you are the bread of life. Let the bread of life reality be ours, Lord. Help us to see you and know you as our risen Christ, and the bread, your broken body that was resurrected from the dead, lives forevermore. I pray that your people get a hold of it, Lord, in their hearts and walk in it. Lord, that we, as we have the understanding and have the revelation, that we can walk amongst others and share the bread of life with them. I thank you today. You're an awesome God. We love you and we bless you and give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. And now, as we have